On such occasions as this, it's a temptation to just simply sing and to pray and to gather around the table. We're so thankful for those of you who are present with us from other places. We're always glad for you to come and be with us. There's a very beautiful event recorded in the Acts of Apostles, and it's stated in so very few words. And when our days were ended, we departed and went on our journey. And they all, with wives and children, brought us on our way until we were outside the city. And kneeling down on the beach, we prayed and bade one another farewell. Then we went on board the ship, and they returned home. This is one of those occasions. What could we say, those of us who are here with our wives and our children, those of us who will be returning to our homes here in the city, what is there to say to those of you who are about to board your ship and to launch out on the sea of life? Is there something that's real pointed and real clear that must be said that we can leave with you today? I think there is. There's a monumental passage in the book of Philippians, chapter 3, verses 13 and 14. But one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. One thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Listen to what is said in this passage. There is nothing superfluous. There's not an extra word. It's all, as someone said, 100% pure gold. It fills all the horizon. It fits youth and old age as well. It bears with telling force upon every calling to which young men and women and old men and women choose to give themselves. If you would learn to be successful, if you would like to learn how to make your years tell, if you'd like to learn how to clear a place for yourself in the world, if you'd like to know how to lay hold on eternal life, here are the ingredients. Number one, never be satisfied with present attainments. Number two, never putter or dabble, but do one thing with all your might. Number three, forget a great deal. And then press forward like a racer bounding toward the goal. And press toward the mark with all the energies of your very being. These are the ingredients of a successful life. These are not speculations. They are not the conjectures of a young man who envisions what he thinks may be. These are the observations of an old man who has spent his lifetime pursuing a goal, forgetting what's behind, and that goal being that which is life's goal itself. It's this old man who now speaks and whose remarks we direct to those of you who are with us today, perhaps for the last time. And we direct our thoughts and our hearts toward you today as you reach out for success in your life. There are three things that I want to say and will be brief. A successful life consists of these three ingredients. Number one, singleness of purpose. This one thing I do, Paul said. Paul was no jack of all trades and master of none. Paul wasn't a man who spent his life dabbling and puttering, but concentration and single-mindedness characterized this great man's life. Young people, life's highway is clearly marked if you'll be observant. But life has 1,000 side roads. It has 1,000 peripheral paths that beckon to you and would say to you, come on and spend some time with me. But you're going to have to search out and find what life's real highway is. There is a way there, a highway. And if you'll be observant, you'll be able to see what it is. You'll be able to detect it and then take advantage of it. You're going to have to learn how to say no. You're going to have to be single in your purpose. Mere spread, and the word spread, I'm not even sure that it's in the dictionary, but it means the spreading of yourself so thin that you dissipate yourself to the point that you make no impact. Spread is what a handful of sand has as it meets a windowpane. It just spreads all over it. It makes no impact, really. Spread is what most or many people's life has as it reaches the impact point in time. When they make their entry into the world seen, as they try to make their place in society, many times people have just simply spread. They become a jack of all trades and master of none. He who chases two rabbits catches neither. And until you learn the lesson that fog does not turn any wheels, your life will probably not make much of an impact on the world. It's that concentrated tunnel or channel that produces the energies. It's that that turns the wheels. It's that that makes the tea kettles whistle. It's that that has been compressed and harnessed into a higher calling that motivates us and that causes us to make an impact in the world today. And if you would do the same thing to your life, if you'll make your life a channel of blessing, an undivided channel of blessing, if you'll see to it that you don't have just spread yourself as broad as you can, but make sure that you have an impact by possessing depth. There are a majority of people who fail, do not fail because they're criminal. They don't fail because they plan to fail. They simply fail because they fail to plan. And they fail to plan with determination and with concentration. No one accomplishes much of anything worthwhile who does not have singleness of purpose. The Apostle Paul's singleness of purpose is evident in his life. He had only one goal. He had only one desire. And if you were to ask him, Paul, what is it that you want? He would simply say, I don't have but one desire. And that one desire is that I might accomplish the course. That one desire is that I might finish the course, that I might keep the faith, that I might fight the fight. And beyond that, I don't have any purpose. This is my sole desire. So you're going to have to learn how to be single in your purpose. Learn to say no. Boil down into those few things that are very, very important and be content with that. But then secondly, the successful life depends upon silencing the past. Forgetting those things that are behind, Paul says. Forgetting what lies behind, I press on to that which lies before. You're going to have to do some forgetting if you be a successful person. You're going to have to do some remembering too, and we've come today to remember. But in order to remember, you're going to have to forget. You cannot possibly assimilate everything that is thrown at you today and remember all of that and all the periphery and all the externals and all the things that are not important. You can't remember all of that. You're going to have to forget some things. One thing I suggest that you forget is simply your accomplishments of the past. You can't live in the past. Things that were accomplished by you before your conversion. It's tempting to let your life be that which perhaps recommends itself. Paul says, though I myself have reason for confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinks he has reason for confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, as to the law, a Pharisee, as to zeal, a persecutor of the church, as to righteousness under the law, blameless. All of this, the Apostle Paul said, I have this to boast of if I were looking for that which commends my life according to the flesh. But you must let those things go. I'll never forget visiting with Bob Vance in Vienna, Austria. In 1970, my wife and three sons and I came through there, and we were blessed to be with that man in his apartment for about a week. We had gone through Vienna at that time because of the Beethoven bicentennial. And he saw us scurrying about from pillar to post looking for tickets to some kind of a concert. And they were all over the city, but they were all sold out, and they had been for months.
And finally, he said, do you really and truly enjoy classical music? And I said, oh, yes. And we've come here for this purpose. We want to see this. We want to hear it. And we want to be a part of it, but we can't get a ticket. And he said to us, and I'll never forget it, he said, well, come on. He took us by the hand, led us down a winding staircase into the basement where he was staying until his wife and family could come. And he then told us to sit on the bed, and we sat. And he went over to an old piano up against the wall. And with the air of a maestro, he flipped his tails, as though it were, of his tuxedo and sat down at an old stool. And out of that old dilapidated piano, that man began to bring out some of the most magnificent melodies that I've ever heard. I was on the point of tears from just sheer ecstasy. And when he finished, I said, where in the world did you learn how to play like that? And very modestly, he said, well, for 10 years, I was the concert pianist for the Portland Symphony Orchestra. But he said, after I'd played for those people and after I saw and back over my life and to see what I had accomplished, I began to ask myself the question, what have I really accomplished for them? What have I really done for them? And so he said, I gave it all up to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because he said, when I've preached the gospel to somebody, I feel like I've really done them something. I've really accomplished something for them. So he had forgotten all of that. 10 years, more than 10 years. He had spent a lifetime becoming accomplished in the piano as an accomplished pianist, and yet he gave all of that up in order that he might preach Jesus Christ. There are going to be accomplishments after your conversion that you'd like to rest upon, that you'd like to simply recline upon your laurels and rest there, and let that be your accommodation. And let that be your commendation, rather. But you can't do that either. The older you get, the more you're going to want to. As a young person today, you don't have that desire particularly. But as you get older and as you see things that are lodged against you or for you in your behalf, on your account, as you accomplish certain things in life, you're going to be tempted to just kind of slack off and rest on your laurels as you get older. And as you get real old, the great temptation is just, I suspect, this one and this one alone, to rest on those things that you've accomplished. But it's just futile. The story of the tortoise and the hare shows that you can't afford to do it. When the hare decided that he had gotten far enough along, you know, he'd already accomplished all he needed to accomplish for a while, and he had rest. And here came the old plodding tortoise and passed him. You can't afford to rest on your laurels. You've got to forget those things. On the plains of hesitation lie the blackened bones of those who, upon the verge of victory, resting, and resting, died. You can't afford to hang on and live in the past. You're going to have to forget. But you're also going to have to forget failures and mistakes. You're going to make blunders all through your life. You might as well accept that. You're going to do things that disappoint you. Never mind. The Lord will forgive you if you'll forgive yourself. And so the failures and the blunders and the things that are mistakes and the disappointments that you find in your own self, you're going to have to forget those if you would be a well-balanced, well-rounded person. God will forgive them, will you? And then there are those things that other people do to you. You're going to have to forget that too. There are injuries. There are things that will be said about you that are cutting. There are feuds. There are misunderstandings. There are those who would abuse you and who would wrong you. You may have the evidence against these people. You may have the goods on them. You may have it in record. You may have it in your files. You may have all of this, and there's just simply all of this in your possession. I would suggest that you go home and burn it all. Don't remember that. 15 years ago, a man wrote something, or wrote me a letter, and it was a very cutting letter. He rebuffed me, rebuked me. And I thought, well, I'll just file this letter. But then I thought, no, I don't want to file it. I didn't even look at his name. I'd already seen it, but I tried to forget it. I just wadded the letter up and threw it in a waste paper can. I didn't want to carry that burden with me. Forget. You're going to have to forget things if you would be the kind of man that God wants you to be. Forgetting what lies behind and stretching forward to what lies ahead. And then thirdly, after your singleness of purpose, after you've narrowed yourself down to one single purpose, this is your burning compassion, this is your burning passion, your compulsion, after you've done that. And then after you have then silenced the past and you've quit resting on your laurels, you've overcome that temptation. You're not going to do that. You've forgotten the things behind and then stretched forward to the things that are ahead. The third thing, the third ingredient of a successful life is the possession of a superior prize. You're not going to be able to have a genuinely singular purpose unless you have a superior prize. So many times people do single themselves down to one single purpose. They limit themselves to a singularity of purpose and singularity of desire, only to find after several years that that singularity of purpose is not really life's purpose. It's like spending 4 years majoring in something that you finally realize is not really all that important. It's like so many things that we find ourselves confronted with in life, of having to separate and find what is the real pearl of great price. For many people spend their lives buying up things that they think are valuable, only to realize at the end of their life that they've spent their lives gathering dust and straw. What's the purpose of your life? Is it really truly life's purpose? Or are you spinning your wheels on things that are not really important? The superlative, imperishable crown of the Christian is that which must occupy every single waking moment of your life. That crown is life's purpose for you. And if you would be the successful person that you need to be and that you want to be, you're going to have to give yourself to life's prize, not just to that which you surmise is important. The Apostle Paul, as he was getting on down toward the fullest expression of his life, passed through the city of Ephesus, or passed by there at Miletus and called the elders of the city of Ephesus to him. And he makes this statement. He said, "And now, behold, I'm going up to Jerusalem, not knowing what shall befall me there, only that the Holy Spirit testifies to me in every city that imprisonment and suffering abide for me." But he says, "I don't hold my life to be of any account or precious to myself, if only I may accomplish my course and the ministry which was given me by Jesus Christ to testify to the good news of the grace of God." That was his superior purpose. That was that which was superlative in his life. He had no other one. That was the greatest one. And later on, he speaks of other things. He speaks of the treasure of Jesus Christ that surpasses all other treasures. He speaks of that in Christ as being that which contains all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge, that they're all hid in Jesus Christ. He speaks of Jesus Christ as the one in whom we come to fullness of life. He speaks in superlative terms whenever he talks about the Lord Jesus Christ. There's never one hint. There's never a glimpse of any disappointment. But that man had grabbed onto, he had latched onto that which is life's genuine epitome. Christ was he in whom all things were summed up, and he's still that today. He's that then, he is that now, he'll always be that. Paul speaks in Romans the 11th chapter and bursts out in this expression of praise when he says, "Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and the knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his ways and his judgments, how inscrutable his ways. For who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has been his counselor, or who has given a gift to him that he might be repaid? For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be glory forever." And then to the Colossians, he makes the statement, "Him we proclaim, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we might present every man mature in Christ. For this I toil, striving with all the energy which he mightily inspires within me." And that was getting on down toward the close of his life. That which kept the Apostle Paul steady, that which kept his feet on the road and kept him headed toward that goal, was the excellency of the prize to which he was pressing each moment of his life. The Apostle Paul told Timothy, "I know him whom I've believed, and I'm persuaded that he's able to keep that which I've committed to him against that day. I know him whom I've believed." And that's all it was. Paul never lost the wonder of amazement.
And that wonder of amazement was the Lord Jesus Christ himself. I read last week of a woman who, as a Christian woman, had spent much of her life reading and memorizing and loving the Bible. She had a good mind, and she had memorized many, many, many chapters in the Bible. But as she neared the end of her life, this record told that she began to lose her memory. Physical deterioration, mental deterioration. She began to lose vast portions of all that she had memorized, till it came down that she had only one verse that was still in her mind, and that was this one here: I know him whom I've believed, and that he's able to keep what I've committed to him against that day. And then as the years went by, and as the days toward her death began to multiply, and she began to near the time when she would depart, even parts of that verse began to disappear from her memory. And she came down to where she only knew these two or three words: I know him whom I've believed. And she would quote that: I know him whom I've believed. And then finally it got down to where: I know him. And that's all she had. And this story said that this woman got to the place that all she could remember was just simply the word him. Him. And that's all she could quote. But that's all she needed to quote. She had forgotten a lot of things, not willfully. She had forgotten them, but what did remain was this one jewel, the crowning jewel of all of man's experience and all of his knowledge. For in him are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Young people, if you would take pains today to be single in your purpose, if you would take pains to silence the past, forget those things that are behind, and stretch forward to those things that are ahead, and if you then would latch on to and lay hold of that which is the superior prize, Jesus of Nazareth, the lily of the valley, the great jewel, the great pearl, the great treasure, if you'll do this, and if you'll then press on toward that goal with every energy that you have within your being and within your soul, which God himself will inspire, if you'll do these three things and give it all you have, and run with patience the race that is set before you, then you can say with the Apostle Paul, as he did to his friend Timothy, when he said, the hour of my departure has come, I have fought the good fight, I have kept the faith, I have finished the course. Henceforth there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me in that day, and not to me only, but to all those who have loved his appearing. This one thing I do. May God grant that this be your goal. And may your life, as you leave us, may it be one that continually increases in scope and in force and impact. And may the Lord Jesus Christ bless you every hour that you live, and bring you to him in perfect completeness. This is our prayer for you. We're going to sing a song of encouragement. There may be varied needs, I know, that are here today, and you may need to express something publicly, but whether it's public or private or whatever may be your need, we're going to join our voices together now and stand and join our hearts together while we encourage you with this song.
Jesus is tenderly calling thee home, calling today, calling today.